right. Well, hey, good morning. Now that everyone's situated, welcome back to Sunday School. It's a bright, cheerful Memorial Day. The sun is out. It's a happier day than last Sunday. Amen.
Amen.
Sun is shining. It's all good. So we'll dive in here in just a minute. I want to make sure to save some time again at the end to do some prayer requests and spend some time praying for one another. But with no further ado, we'll dive right in. Last week, I had shared with you guys that as I was going through the questions that were asked on Easter Sunday, a lot of them were kind of lining up with what our core beliefs are as a church. So, you know, if you're ever looking for that, they're in our constitution, they're online. If anyone needs a copy of those, please feel free to ask. We always want people, theoretically, if you're a member of the church, you've already agreed to all of these things, but it's always a good thing to remember and to review and to reaffirm the things that we hold is, you know, this is kind of where we stand as a church doctrinally. Since my wife is not here, oh, rats. Yeah, ears are burning. Well, since my wife is here, I'll use the same illustration. It's very rare when I do this, but Vince Lombardi, who was the coach of the Packers, he would actually start every single season out. You know, professional football players, guys have been playing for years and years, and he would always start each season out by saying, "This is a football." And just as a way of, and they would go through the basics and the rudimentaries of the game every season because, again, you know, if we don't have the basics mastered, if we don't review them from time to time, it's easy to slip off our moorings. I think I've shared in this setting the church that was down the road from us when we were in northwest Iowa. It was a little Baptist church, King James only. They had about 30 members, and literally the church was dying. They were not gaining new members. They were losing people as they passed away or as they transitioned to other communities. And so they said, what we're going to do is we're going to bring in a revival ministry. Now, there are good revival ministries and bad revival ministries. I got the church I was at previously, they worked with a great one. They saw a huge increase in attendance because of it. But this particular little Baptist church, they brought in a very charismatic, very outgoing revival ministry. And all of a sudden, they're having people speaking in tongues, and they're having people prophesying, and there's a very exuberant type of worship going on, which, again, in and of itself can be okay if it's done right. But also there's this huge explosion of growth. People are coming. Everyone's talking about, oh, you got to go to this church. You got to go to this church. You got to go to this church. Then about 4 years later, we receive a couple into our church. You know, they started showing up. They asked to join. They became members. And you could kind of tell because husband and wife had the same last name, but the wife had some daughters with a different last name. So, you know, you kind of do the math and go, okay, there was some sort of remarriage or second marriage or some situation like that. You know, didn't really ask a ton of questions. Come to find out that they were from that previous church. And I lift them up, and they're wonderful people, but I lift them up as an example of what happens if we slip off of the foundation, if we slip off of the basics too much and don't come back to it. They were both on the worship team, much like we have upstairs. He was actually the worship leader. He would be like Jared. But both of them, as they were hanging out around the worship gathering, around the praise team, they both suddenly started feeling like they had a message from the Holy Spirit. And that message from the Holy Spirit was that both of them had married the wrong people and that the Holy Spirit was calling them to divorce their current spouses and marry each other. Sound good? Everybody good with that?
No,
not too much. There's a couple of big errors there. But part of what had happened to that church is they had started to value their experience in worship and kind of their feelings, and which is fine. God uses our feelings. But they were valuing their feelings over God's truth. So when we have a doctrinal statement, when we have a, you know, anything like this where we say this is how we understand Scripture, it's good for us from time to time to go back and review it. So our question series has kind of turned into that. And so today we'll unpack a section of our core beliefs called church cooperation. Doesn't that one sound like fun? Yeah! We went from, you know, Trinity and all that fun stuff, and now we're doing that one. Yeah. I know, it's not all of them are fun, but
I
I wouldn't be able to drink it right now anyway, but thank you. All right.
I don't know what kind you like. You never put an order in. So.
True. Very true. Very true. Anyway, no worries. Thank you. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our servicemen and women who risk their lives each and every day. Lord, we thank you for those who have given their life in protection of this country. And as we remember them, as we remember their families on this day, Lord, again, we just pray for an extra measure of your peace to be present with them. Father, as we gather again to understand your word and how we apply that word here in this church, Lord, we thank you that your word is truth. We thank you that your word is the foundation of everything that we believe and everything that we do. And so, Lord, if there's ever a time when we stray from that, Lord, correct us and bring us back. But, Lord, we thank you that you are reliable and faithful. So, Lord, just bless our conversation together. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Alrighty, so the question of the day, we're kind of doing this in question and answer format. The question of the day is, as Christians, who can we co-labor with? One, two, four, five, I think that's enough. And I tried to figure out the right way to word that, because you say partner with, people start thinking like marriage, you know, some Christians marry non-Christians, that's a whole different issue. I think that's enough. They went down and passed around. But the idea is, who can I, as a Christian, who can we as a church, who can we shake hands with and say, let's work together. Let's share some time together. Let's you know, we're kind of pulling on the same rope in the same way. So that's what I mean by co-laboring. Because hopefully for all of us, as we work, as we have neighbors, we're going to be encountering folks that are not believers. We always have to respect and work with them, but this is something a little bit different. Do you guys need an extra? Okay, there's an extra in case you need a doodle. Okay. Thank you. So, the question is, who can we, as Christians, who can we co-labor with? And I want us to think through that just a little bit. You know, because as labor, you know, the work of the kingdom. And don't just think of what happens here in church. You know, can I, as a Christian, share a pulpit with a Buddhist? Okay, it really worries me that everyone got really quiet on that one. Okay, can I, as a Christian, share a pulpit with someone who's a Buddhist?
No.
Thank you. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Then the question would be, could I, as a Christian, or can we as Christians, could I work at a Habitat for Humanity build with someone who's a Buddhist?
Yes.
That's kind of the distinctions we're wondering. Where do we place those lines? Hey, Jonathan and Sherry, welcome. Just so you know, we are doing table discussions with groups. You're welcome to sit there. It's going to be a very limited conversation, but, you know, it's up to you guys. But that's where I want, you know, to start having some conversations about where do we draw those lines? Who can we work with? Who can't we work with? Some of it will be obvious. Some of it maybe not. So on your page, there you go, guys, is our actual, this is from the website, this is our belief. We believe that the local churches can best promote the cause of Jesus by cooperating with one another in a denominational organization. Such an organization, whether a regional or district conference, exists and functions by the will of the churches. Now, that's important, guys, because there are other styles of church where the local church exists underneath the district or the region. We don't have that. Our highest authority in our church is us as a church, and the denomination exists to support us. But cooperation in a conference is voluntary and may be terminated at any time. Churches may likewise cooperate with interdenominational fellowships on a voluntary, independent basis. And then there are some scripture references there. What I would like you guys to do, and again, some of these are obvious, you know, but I want you to wrestle with some of the ones that aren't. Around your table, discuss the following groups. Specifically, can we as Christians support or partner with any of them in their work? And then how do you support your decision? Okay? We have other Baptists, Pentecostals, Presbyterians, Catholics, Mormons, atheists, and hippies.
Hippies are all dead anymore. Come on.
I've seen a few. I've met a few. They're a fascinating bunch. But do me a favor, talk about them. Can we as Christians, you know, support or partner with them, and think beyond just the walls of the church in the broader community. Okay? So go ahead and have a discussion about that. You know, you have our statement and some scripture passages up there if you need to, but go ahead and discuss amongst yourselves. Can we partner with or support any of these ministries? Go.
Yes, yes, sort of, no, 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 no.
Everyone will be done in 3 minutes. I love it. That'll be great. So I'm curious to know how some of your discussions with the moments when I poked in and listened a bit, it was enlightening, good discussion going around. Appreciate that. So around your table, we ask you to discuss the following groups. Specifically, can we as Christians support or partner with any of them in their work? How do you support your decision? So I just want to go down the list and just hear from you guys as groups for a couple of minutes. How did you respond? So other Baptists, can we support them or partner with them in any of their work?
Yes. That depends on what
the Baptist church is. Yeah, very true. Absolutely. Yes, I was just about to say that. Just because they have the same name on the side of the building that we have doesn't mean we necessarily can support them or partner with them. Bill mentions correctly Westboro Baptist Church. They have a very similar faith statement to us. Some very wrong ways of applying it. But so just because somebody has Baptist on the side does not mean that we necessarily can partner with them. However, what were some of your other conversations about other Baptists?
Perfect in almost every way.
They're perfect in almost every way.
Some of them have a big
ego. Only with big egos. Perfect, but with big egos. Okay, that's it's a new take on Baptists. Wow. All right. Ike's a good man. He cracks me up in so many ways. But how about the Pentecostals? How about the Pentecostals?
Billy Graham Crusade.
A Billy Graham Crusade.
Right.
Could we partner with the Pentecostals on a Billy Graham Crusade?
Yes.
Sherry was mentioning a lot of the Pentecostal churches help with unity.
Yeah.
The choir and stuff.
Yeah.
Could we partner with them for that?
Yes.
Would there be any areas where we could not partner with the Pentecostal church?
Yeah. Do they believe in the Trinity?
Yes.
They what?
The Trinity. Wonder if they yes and no. The United Pentecostal Church would say, yes, they believe in the Trinity, but they believe in modalism that we talked about, where it's only one God who put on different masks.
Oh, okay.
And we would say it's different. We would say there's one Godhead with three personalities. So some of them would believe differently than us on that. But also, Assemblies of God would be considered Pentecostal. So.
What we were saying at our table.
That's right.
What they believe and how
practically perfect. We're like Mary Poppins theologically. We're practically perfect in every way.
Yes. I mean, you probably wouldn't want them to come in our church if they don't believe in Christ dying on the cross and teach a Bible study.
Correct.
Something else.
But by and large, to someone who says I'm a Pentecostal Christian, how do they have similar beliefs to us on the core issues or different beliefs?
Similar.
Similar.
Similar, absolutely. If you want to check out, you know, probably the biggest, most well-known Pentecostal denomination are the Assemblies of God. If you look at their core statement, they have a couple of pieces, a couple of distinctives that they add, but otherwise the core beliefs about Trinity, God's Word, who Jesus is, salvation, all identical. They actually have a harder stance on baptism by immersion than we do. Weird as that is. But would there be any areas where we could not partner with them or support them?
They're talking about needing to speak in tongues in order to be saved.
Yeah.
That might be an issue of concern.
Yeah, absolutely. Jonathan brings up a good point. One of the Pentecostal distinctives is that they say if you're saved, you will have some Pentecostals would say that you'll have some manifestation of the Holy Spirit, like speaking in tongues. And if that was a requirement for salvation, we'd be forced to say we would disagree with that. We don't see that in Scripture anywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
That can be, I mean, I've been in churches where they've spoken tongues, and I've never had that experience, and I'm not saying it's not true, and it doesn't happen, because like you brought out last week, you had that experience, so you know that it's real. But it can be scary if you don't understand it.
It can be real, and it can also be fake. Just like preaching can be good or bad. You know, we can have godly preaching or ungodly preaching. So the issue isn't speaking in tongues or preaching. The issue is, does it align with God's word? So, but yes, okay. Let's keep moving, though. How about our friends, the Presbyterians? Can we partner with them or support them?
Yeah.
Yes.
If they're a gospel preaching church, we can partner with them if they're preaching God's word.
If they're preaching God's word, yes. The Presbyterians and the Reformed folks where Becky and I grew up, they would be lovingly referred to as the shallow water Baptists. yep, me too. Longer, actually, for me. But again, they would believe in infant baptism. Can we partner with them?
Not all of them.
Not all of them? Why not?
Well, some of the churches in the Presbyterian denominations have gay pastors.
Oh, yeah.
PCUSA.
Presbyterian Church USA, to the best of my knowledge, would allow for an ordained gay pastor to be their pastor and to serve and be married. So you would have a problem with them partnering with us?
Yes.
Okay, me too. And there are some liberal Baptist denominations that would be along the same lines, and I would have the same problem. So again, to me, the issue isn't the Baptist or Presbyterian in that regard. It's, again, as Ms. Lola was saying, are they faithful preachers of God's word? You know, that'd be, okay, so cool. So we can hang out with the shallow water Baptists, amen? And I need to give full credit. That's a Joe Stoll phrase. It's not mine. It's Joe Stoll. But how about Catholics? It's meant to be a little bit more, I don't know what to do with this. You know, can we partner with or support? Former Catholics, but I'm talking current Catholics. Like, can I partner with, you know, Saint, Our Lady of Perpetual Concrete in Mona Shores or wherever it is? But yes,
Saint Francis.
I don't know. So, but yes, ma'am. What do you think?
I was just going to say that the Catholics have really been leading the charge in the pro-life.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely.
Friends are, in some ways, even better than we are, leading the charge for pro-life. So can we partner with them?
Yeah.
It depends on what we're doing with them. What would be okay things, you know, just kind of broadly speaking, you know, again, I know that we're painting, I think I heard somebody say we're painting with a very broad brush, and we are.
Well, I've done a Persil, if anybody knows what that
mm-hmm.
is. I've done a couple of them. I mean, I've done my own, and then I've worked on several.
Cool.
I would support St. Jude's Hospital.
Yeah, St. Jude's Hospital.
Oh, yes.
Wonderful organization.
The Catholic Healing Masses are really cool. If you've ever had an opportunity to go to one.
Yeah. So, okay. So some ways we'd partner together, perhaps. What are some areas we wouldn't partner together? I heard this table talking about it a little bit. But. I'm curious, you guys, when I walked over, you were discussing if I was asked to preach at a Catholic church versus if I asked, or I wouldn't, but if somebody asked a priest to preach here. Well, how did you guys resolve that conversation, by the way? Should I go preach at our Catholic friends?
I just made a statement. I don't know that it was resolved or discussed much, but I would say that we would encourage you to go and preach at a Catholic church.
Okay.
Yeah.
Going
to all the world to preach the gospel, you know? But I would not probably encourage a priest to come here and give a mass or whatever. I don't know, do they call it preaching or do they call it?
They would deliver a homily.
Yeah,
is that what it is?
It's two totally different styles. It's not
I think they could come here, but we probably all be at the Catholic Church with you.
That's it would just be a building swap. Yep, yep. Yes, Mr. Darren.
Manuel told me that when Pastor Savage was here, he invited a Catholic priest to come over and speak not from the pulpit, but with a Bible study.
Mm.
And these people in the Bible study questioned this Catholic priest and just asked basic questions like, well, how do you lead a man to the Lord? And by the end of it, Pastor Savage just said, okay, guys, you've grilled him enough, okay? Because he didn't have the knowledge to answer some of these basic questions that people in the Baptist church, because they knew their Bible, and this Catholic priest really didn't know his Bible that well.
Right.
Yep. Catholic priests are wonderfully educated men, but just not necessarily in God's Word. And so, so we probably very much...
Our own doctrines.
Yes, as do we. But ours is, I think, based on Scripture. But yeah, so I could see where we would very much put them on the spot. I told this table, too, and I'll do it at the end, of the strangest place that I've ever been invited to preach that I accepted, and it wasn't the bar. That was a whole different experience. How about the Mormons?
No.
No what?
No, we can't partner.
We can't.
Not, I mean, we could, if they were having a, have Catholic humanity, yes, we definitely could step in and help on that.
Okay.
But to partner at their church and their religion,
yes, I had a wonderful chat with a couple of Mormons on different occasions. I love it when they show up at my door because I always tell them I'm busy, which I am, because even if I'm watching TV, I'm busy. But I invite them, let's come chat a different time, so I invite them to come to Starbucks. They're not allowed to drink caffeine. They will. They still show up. It's great fun. I enjoy tormenting them. But there are definitely some very, very unbiblical things that their faith teaches. So is there any areas where we could partner with them and stay true to the gospel? I mean, we could partner with anybody. The question is, can we partner with them and stay true to the gospel?
If they let you preach, yeah.
If they let me preach, yeah. Okay. I think the general vibe is I can go preach anywhere. We might not let anyone come back and preach with us. Okay.
Well,
but if we don't have a partner with us,
we could question them afterwards. If we could question them about their faith, then, I can sit through, except for the incense, a lot of the
hoopla. The incense is more the Catholic thing.
Yeah.
Or you can go, again, to quote the late Robin Williams, you can go Episcopalian, which is Catholic light, all the tradition, half the guilt. Anyway, I've shared that with an Episcopalian friend. They found it very amusing. But, we talked about Catholics being proponents of pro-life. So are the Mormons.
Yeah.
And they are very committed to family. But can we partner with them on it?
You know, we did something a little different. We took these scripture references and we read through them and looked at the scripture and tried to take the principles in there. And the first one is Philippians 1. One of the verses is, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone is a Christian, they are partakers of the same grace, and they're in our hearts in some way.
Yep.
So the question would really be, this person a true Christian? Part of the answer would be, are they a true Christian? And I guess the question was asked, is everyone in every Baptist church a true Christian?
No.
Is everyone in every Pentecost? And we went down the line. And except with atheists, I think we couldn't come up with a definite. I think all the atheists are probably not Christians.
Yeah, I would think so. But by their own definition, yeah, the atheists.
But that's interesting if we would use that definition, as we also said, was Timothy, because another passage was 1 Corinthians 16, and Paul says to support Timothy in the work that he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Was Timothy a Baptist or a Pentecostal or a Presbyterian or a Catholic?
Yeah. Those terms didn't exist back then.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you were saying, are they a true Christian? Can a Mormon be a Christian with their belief set?
And that's part of the question. We dealt with this a while ago when some Mormons wanted to join our church. And Pastor Brian talked about, you know, there are really two different branches of the Mormons. There are the ones that are,
mm-hmm.
that believe all the Book of Mormon and everything, but there's a local Mormon church that kind of broke away from that and said, we don't embrace all that stuff. We just go according to the teachings of the Bible. And yeah, they still do hold some eclectic things, but they are a lot more in line with
mm-hmm.
what we would say is, what's the word?
Biblical.
Biblical. I was thinking of a different word. How come you can't read my mind?
I'm not prophetic.
Fundamental beliefs, but anyway.
So yeah, and so there's always, when we're dealing with individuals, there is the case-by-case basis. And I would venture out, if someone holds what Mormon doctrine teaches. Now, we're talking about Evanston Avenue Baptist doctrine. Are there going to be people in this church that don't agree with every point of doctrine? Yeah, of course. But if someone holds to Mormon doctrine, I would say, based on that doctrine, they are not Christians because they're putting their salvation in something other than the completed work of Christ on the cross.
Right.
So can we, if they're not co-partakers of God's grace, is there any way that we can partner with them? Okay. What makes it safe for us to say, and I know I throw that example out there, What would make it okay to go to the rescue mission or Habitat for Humanity or some other ministry like that, and it doesn't matter if the person next to me is Mormon, atheist, gay, straight, Christian, or whatever?
Because we're doing God's work in our community on that.
We're serving the community? Okay.
And that's a Christian thing to do.
Yeah.
And we're supporting the work of Habitat. We're not supporting the work of the atheists, the Mormons.
Is that what makes the difference? That I'm supporting this ministry, Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah.
Habitat's not a Christian ministry, by the way.
No, it's not.
It's not a non-Christian ministry. They don't specify.
It
does wonderful things for the community.
Well, and that's what we support. And that's what we would be in partnership with,
okay.
is our community.
Okay.
You know, it's going to depend on the person's motivation in their heart. Because I forget if it's Romans 14 where it says, why are you judging another man's servant?
Yeah, Romans 14.
And the Lord of that servant will judge that servant. And so if you have a heart for reaching the lost, and you say, you know, I'm going to go be a part of that just to be a testimony to the people around me, and hey, I might get a chance to witness to a Buddhist.
Yep.
If that's your heart and you have the gift of evangelism, yeah, but if you're just someone who likes to work on houses and you say, you know, I think that'd be fun to go work on a house. Well, you're really not doing it to reach the lost. You're doing it because you like to build houses.
It's a fun hobby.
So,
but can I also use my hobby to reach people for Christ?
You can do that,
yeah.
But it's going to depend on your heart, and the Lord is ultimately going to be the judge of everyone.
Yeah. And I think Darren raises a good point. And if you're taking notes, I would encourage you to write it down, at least this question. Where are the lost people? Typically, they don't show up here. Unless they're invited, or the Holy Spirit, which it does happen. But where do you have a greater likelihood of meeting someone who is unsaved?
In your community.
Yeah, not here.
You're a missionary. You're reaching out to other people.
Yes, I love that. Thank you, my dear. We are missionaries.
You are standing on your mission field, corner of Evanston and Roberts.
When you go out of the church, the Assembly of God Church, it said you are now entering your mission
field. Your mission field, absolutely. So, yeah. Yeah, thank you for that. Let's keep moving, though. Atheists and Mormons, I think we'll all kind of be in that same situation. And part of the reason I wanted you to have that discussion is just so that we can have the practice of thinking through. If an opportunity comes up, do we say yes or do we say no? And a lot of it will depend on the situation. I shared with this table over here, when we were in Frankfurt, we would have the conversations where the local mosque would have a family fun fair, just like Mr. Darren would have, like the Bible Times Club fun fair at the end of the year. And they would invite Christian churches to come participate. And the reason for it was, why don't you partner with us to strengthen our community? Now, can we, as a Christian church, partner with the Muslims to strengthen our community? Well, and what's that?
I was going to say, if it's in their work, I would say no.
Yeah. And I think part of the important thing is to question the terms. You know, is it your work? What do you mean by strengthen?
Would we say to a Muslim, don't do, you're a Muslim and we're not, not doing a food drive with you?
Yeah.
How do we justify that?
Perhaps. I mean, is it them helping us or us helping them? But here's the thing that I would question that we asked of the imam. What do you mean by strengthen? Would it make a difference if the Muslims were saying, you know what, we have so many kids running around in our community after school unattended, we see that as a bad thing, and we want to provide an activity for them to have somewhere safe to go. Could we partner with them? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
Depends
or
does...
Yeah. Or is it an outreach? Are we strengthening the church by we're all doing outreach together? Well, now I'm yoking my ministry with them. So that's why when questions like, let's strengthen our community together, we need to ask the questions that we're discussing now. What do you mean? Are we helping Habitat for Humanity? Or are we helping another agency? Those are the questions we have to wrestle with. And then I love that the conversation of outreach. I would say that there's the other component of, are we doing outreach to them? Or are we doing outreach with them? Because I can partner with my friends from Grace Assembly of God and Lakes Nazarene Church and do outreach with them because our doctrinal statements and our core beliefs are almost identical. I can do outreach with them because we're all advancing the same kingdom. I could not do outreach with the Unitarian Universalists in town because their doctrine, they don't even have one. Their doctrine is akin to Mr. Rogers, in my opinion. Just be nice. So again, different goal, different kingdom advancing. I cannot do outreach with them. The question then would be, do I do outreach to them? And how do I do that? So those are some of the issues we want to wrestle with. I put on the bottom of your page a framework for responding to other faiths. And this is just kind of some language for us to get our heads around. So there's blanks. You can fill them in. If you have a good memory, don't worry about it. But blank number one is universalism. There are people and there are times, and ultimately what the Muslims were saying to us on the south end of Chicago was they were coming to it, they were presenting as a universalist idea. Universalism proposes all religions are more or less equal, with no one religion able to claim supremacy. Another way to say this would be, every religion is going up the same mountain. We all pray to the same God. That is a universalist statement. Is that statement biblical? Do we all pray to the same God?
No.
No, absolutely not. We can't. Universalism is patently false. Just because if you look at what Christianity, what Buddhism, and what Islam says about Jesus, they all say something different. All of them cannot be true. They contradict each other. But universalism is this kind of nice idea that is false, that all religions are basically the same. We're all going up the same mountain to get to the same place. So we can pray to Jesus. They can pray to Buddha. It all goes, that's false. Patently and completely false. The current world around us tends to believe more number two. Number two is relativism. Relativism says all religions have their own truth, and in essence, a relativist would say that religions are not different paths up one mountain, but they are different mountains altogether, and anyone's fine. So you want to be a Buddhist, be a Buddhist, that's true. You want to be a Christian, it's different, but it's true. Everything's true, just go for it. As long as it's right for you. Again, we would say that is false. And to me, that gets to the question of, am I doing outreach with them or to them? If somebody holds position one or position two, I'm doing outreach to them. Because not every religion is true. Amen?
Amen?
It can't be. And it's not any religion is fine, because, yes, they're all different mountains, but only one mountain goes to heaven. Ours. Number three, though, is inclusivism. Inclusivism. This is kind of like snobby universalists. One's own religion is the supreme religion, but other religions have truths that will ultimately lead to the truth found in our supreme religion. This one's a little bit tricky because there are elements of truth in every religion, but only one faith is true. Do you understand the difference? There are elements of truth, but only one faith is the way, the truth, and the life. And then number four, exclusivism. This approach teaches that there is only one true religion and only one way of salvation. So, of course, which of the four are we?
Exclusive.
How do you get to heaven?
Jesus.
There is the way, the truth, the life. There's only one way to get there. And so as you encounter other groups and as we have opportunities like this, the question would be, this is kind of the framework that we can run it through. Which verse best aligns with Scripture? Of course, we said number four. But I do want to invite you, in the time that we have left, why don't you join me in Colossians chapter 4, please. Verse 3. Take a running start into it. In our statement of faith, we start at verse 7. And the emphasis of verses 7 through 17 of chapter 4 is talking about the fellowship and the community that we share with other believers. That would be the, you know, verse 7 through 17 would be, these are the ones we do outreach with them. We join hands. I can say, you know, we disagree on some things, but we all love Jesus. We're all advancing his kingdom together. And when we get to heaven, they'll all find out we were right, you know, basically. Sorry, joke, but it was right by. But that's okay. Verse 3 says this, though. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which we are in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt. Praise God for that. Amen. God likes salt. I can put salt in my fries? No, bad interpretation. Sorry. Let your conversation be seasoned with salt so that you may know how to answer everyone. And so as we're kind of drawing the distinction between who do we do outreach with and who do we do outreach to, this section is talking about who do we do outreach to. If I can't say that you're my brother or sister in Christ, then ultimately my question is, how do I share Jesus with you? And as we encounter Mormons, atheists, actually, do you guys know what the biggest religious category is that's growing in America?
Atheism.
No. Nuns. Yeah, none of the above. No, seriously, that is the most common, the fastest growing answer on surveys. What religion are you? None of the above. They don't even want to claim atheist. It takes too much work. So when we encounter these people, you know, if they do not believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then they're not. Then we do not do outreach with them. We do outreach to them. We make the most of every opportunity, making sure that our conversations are seasoned with salt. So, I know we're running out of time, but any questions, comments, or thoughts on that?
There are no nuns in foxholes.
There are no nuns in foxholes. I would hope not. They would stand out, you know, wearing black and white and all that. Sorry, bad joke. All right. We have just a few moments, but let's make sure we spend some time in prayer. A couple things on here we need to be praying about. Are any other questions about the study before I wrap that up? My hope in all this is that as we encounter people of differing faiths, that you have this kind of wrestling. Am I doing outreach with them? Am I doing outreach to them? Those are the questions.